Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey, the microphone's on now. How's it going? I'm Seth. I'm one of the pastors here at Coastal Community Church. Welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us today. You good? That was powerful worship. It was good. I can't sing that one song. You know, he's been so good to me. Like, I can't sing that without like tears coming down and thinking about all the good. Well, he hasn't even gotten into the sermon yet. He's already tearing up, right? I just can't stop thinking about how good God really has been. You know, not for lack of challenges or trouble, but God, in spite of all that, so good. He's been so good. I also want to embarrass / highlight Christy and Sean are here. yeah. And Zach, our former drummer. You know, it's funny, like, you can always leave Coastal, but you never really leave, right? They moved away to Georgia. Christy was here the first Sunday that Coastal Community Church was Sean here, or was he not getting dragged to church yet? He wasn't there yet. Okay. So Christy was there for our first day of worship, April 16, 2006, and she brought her twin daughters and little Zach, who is, like, this big. Yeah, oh, everybody, oh, I'm sorry to say, he's not as cute anymore, right? Sean, Bill Bass targeted him. I don't know if you guys know Bill Bass. He was one of our advisory team members, and he's like, hey, I'm not gonna, beat this guy over the head with the Bible. What I'm gonna do is take him fishing. And he took him fishing, and it took him camping, and you know, he just kind of included him, and before you know it, he's like, I'll show up at church, you know, and then before you know it, man, here's this guy getting baptized, and praise Jesus, he chose to follow Jesus, get baptized, lead his family well, and got the pleasure, I think, baptizing all the kids too, right? So some in the ocean, some in the river. You guys think this water's cold up here, you babies. Dude, we almost lost your twin daughters. Ron and I were baptizing your twin daughters. They were like 10 years old. I mean, the undertow was like, you know, some of you guys whine about this tank up here like you're suffering. Sorry. But anyway, we're happy you're here, and it fits really well into the sermon today. We're talking about influencers. And you know what? I've kind of stayed away from this topic because I get triggered because of all the negativity that I've seen that has made me nauseated with how Jesus is misrepresented in our world. Like, sometimes the people who are representing Jesus, they set me off a little. And I'm like, I don't want to be included with those people. And so what's difficult sometimes, we'll just give up on publicly representing Jesus because we don't want to be mistaken for those freaks. But I want to tell you that you have a mission that goes beyond those freaks. And Jesus has a purpose for you, and he will empower you with all the courage that you need to be influencers in your different spaces of life. I want to tell a story about a guy named John Harper. He was on the Titanic. Here's his story. John Harper, a victim of drowning during the Titanic tragedy, died a powerful influencer. He was a 39-year-old widower with a 6-year-old daughter. His daughter and niece accompanied him on the transatlantic voyage. After the Titanic hit the iceberg, his daughter and niece boarded a lifeboat and survived. Harper, however, refused to save himself and insisted on helping others to the crowded lifeboats. According to survivors, Harper preached the gospel until his dying breath, first on the sinking ship and then in the frigid waters. The October 1928 issue of the Latter Rain Evangel, published by Stone Church, a Historical Assemblies of God congregation in Chicago, recounted the following story of John Harper's last convert. 3 or 4 years after the Titanic floundered in 1912, a young Scotsman rose in a meeting in Hamilton, Canada, and said, "I was on the Titanic when she sank, drifting along on a spar in the icy water on that awful night. A wave brought John Harper of Glasgow near me. He, too, was holding on to a piece of the wreckage. 'Man, are you saved?' he shouted. 'No, I am not,' was my reply. He answered, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved.' The waves bore him again. But strange to say, a little later, he washed back alongside of me. 'Are you saved now?' 'No,' I replied. 'I cannot honestly say that I am.' Once more, he repeated the verse, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.' Then, losing his hold, he sank. And there, alone in the night, and with 2 miles of water underneath me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert." And so we allow stupidity of others to stand in the way of us taking seriously the eternal fate of people right around us. People drowning in hopelessness, drowning in loneliness, drowning in anxiety and depression, and we have the cure. I want us to read our key verse together, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, wasn't sure you were still here. Some of you need to dab those eyes. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. Let's read together, 3, 2, 1. "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So, hang on, I gotta wait because there's a pause, right? Verse 20. "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' We have this wonderful message." Don't forget that. Don't let anybody else's stupid message interfere with the fact that you have this wonderful message. And it says we're ambassadors. We are on a mission to take the mission of our leader into other places. So this series, Influencer, welcome. We're going to unleash your influence on a world that is drowning in hopelessness. Everywhere we look, people are drowning. And we have the lifeboat. We have a life preserver. So the issue is not whether or not we should do it. It's why aren't we? So here's the complication. The message of Jesus has been hijacked. And we see that in various forms, and it ticks us off, and it should. We see, like, when my family went to go see the Buccaneers preseason game a few years ago, which is, by the way, the only time I've ever seen the Buccaneers in any game. So if anybody feels led by the Holy Spirit to change that. So we're like, walking up, and they have this pregame, you know, like all the stuff for kids out there. And, well, in amongst these people is a dude with a megaphone. And yeah, you know where I'm going with this. You've probably had this experience, and it's like, I am not one of him. These types of situations make my job harder because people think that they're coming to church to get some of that. And when you bring up God, they think that you are represented by that. Or the time when we pulled up to an intersection and my children are in the car and I look to my left and my right and people are holding signs of pictures of mutilated babies. My brothers and sisters, well-meaning, but misguided. And this is what it's said to be meant to be a Christian in America. You have to vote a certain way. You have to have all these things in line before you even show up here, is what we're communicating. Boy, it's quiet. Then there's the signs that we see. God hates gays. God doesn't hate gays any more than he hates you, just so you know. And then this movement in some areas of the country harmonizing Christianity with white supremacy. And like, that misrepresentation of Jesus is what we walk into the scene on. And by the way, you are empowered influencers in that scene. Those are the spaces that you have influence over. And so I plead with you, with people drowning who would rather drown than get on the boat with the condemning, self-centered, racist, misrepresenting Christian, you're the one who can bring hope to that situation. You're the one who can say, no, that is not what my Jesus is about. Jesus didn't come to the woman at the well and say, you need to get your act together before I talk to you. How do you vote? Do you vote the right way or the wrong way? So in a world where many would rather drown than listen to another religious speech, you have been called to represent Jesus. And to kind of repeat a phrase, to re-represent, because it's needed. We have some re-representing to do. So we cannot be so frustrated with people who are inviting people into leaky boats that we're refusing to throw them a life preserver, to invite them into this rescue boat. So, yeah, this is not a feel-good sermon, in case you didn't already pick up on that. We'll get there. There's some feel-good parts, but like, we have a job to do, and I haven't preached on this ever before in this way, because I've avoided it because of the reasons I've just described. But we can't avoid this. We have to be ambassadors. To be ambassadors, we can't sit there and go, I don't want to offend somebody. Now, don't be an idiot, okay, and try to offend people, but we have a mission that's bigger than your feelings getting hurt. So there's three spaces that we have available to us in order to be influencers. First space, the religious space. I love this space, so comfy. So familiar, so predictable, except in the back room of the production room. It's a little unpredictable right now as they work through an issue. Like, but this is so easy, right? Like, here's the thing. All of y'all, with a few exceptions of people that were dragged here against their will, you want to be here. In fact, not only do you want to be here, but you actually kind of already knew that we were going to have a spiritual discussion when you sat down. You knew that at some point the music would stop and the guy who leads the spiritual discussion is going to challenge you with some spiritual truth. You already knew that. It's what you signed up for. That's why it's so easy to have influence in the religious space. In fact, if you invite someone to church, like, it's so easy. Ron was talking about, all you got to do is click, man, and you bring them, or other people bring them, and there is spiritual influence here. By the way, you guys are not off the hook. Some people don't just want to hear from me on Sunday morning. They need you to encourage them as you're sitting next to them. And so this is a space of great influence. But it's not the only space. In Acts chapter 17, we will be reading a lot of scripture today. So I want to invite you to follow along. If you have a paper scripture, awesome, follow along. If you don't have a paper Bible, you should definitely download the YouVersion Bible app. I use that exclusively. My paper Bible only gets used occasionally. And the thing I like about it is I can highlight stuff, I can come back to stuff, and later on during the week when I've forgotten where I was, I can go back and I can look at, what did I highlight, what did I, and I can go back and study a little bit more. So I'm encouraging you, please follow along today because we're going to be moving. Are you ready? Buckle up. Are you ready? Okay. Acts 17, verse 1. Paul and Silas then traveled throughout the towns of Amphipolis, Apollonia, and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths in a row, he used scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." Some of the Jews who listened were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men and quite a few prominent women. So for millennia, this has been the easy, fertile ground of influence. People gather here wanting to be influenced spiritually. There's only one problem. If you're far from God, we're probably not going to find you here until you hit rock bottom. And so we have to be willing to be influencers outside of this space. We have to be willing as believers, individuals, to represent Jesus well everywhere we go. We have to be willing as the church to host things like the block party that kind of, yeah, you're kind of here on campus, but whoo, you don't have to go into the worship center. To have space outside of this space where we can influence. Space in Uganda where we bring people together for medical treatment, but we have local pastors that are sharing the gospel in their language. It says in Thessalonica, some of the Jews were persuaded to join them. And then in Berea, the same thing happened. They go to the religious space. People believe. Awesome. Let's go. It's a success. Then he goes to Athens. And this is our second space. This is the community space. Acts chapter 17, verse 16 and 17 says, "While Paul was for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue, because that's what he's used to. He just kept doing what he was doing, to reason with the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, and, pivot, he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there." As he's looking around at the idols and things, he's like, huh, probably not going to find those people in the synagogue. You ever been to a place like that? You go, right? You're like, huh, probably not going to see you at church. Probably not, okay? It'd be awesome. Like, everybody's welcome. But it doesn't really look like you're kind of like there yet, right? Christians, if you keep your influence so tightly boxed into this space, there will be people drowning all around you in every other space while you're hanging on to and hoarding the life preserver. Your mission exists and extends well beyond our Sunday morning experiences at 9 and 10:30. The mission of rescuing people from hell is bigger than we can handle here at church for however long y'all can sit, like 60, 70 minutes a Sunday. And so we have to get out of here, and we have to be influencers in other spaces. Remember that second verse of our key verse, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Through who? Not through the pastor. You're not off the hook. Like, if you want to take the rest of that verse, all that entire chapter, new creation, great. All right, you have a job He is making his appeal through you. You are the messenger. And if you don't message, then you aren't doing your job. We're ambassadors, which literally means we get out of our usual space and we go to somewhere else and we represent the mission of the person who sent us. Ambassadors. Verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, it says he was deeply troubled. I went back to this because I think many of us, or many Christians, don't expand their influence outside of this religious space because we're not deeply troubled with the fate of those drowning outside of this space. Like, we want to kind of be modern and culturally careful and, yeah, all that stuff, but it's about more than maybe offending someone by bringing a different set of beliefs. It's about more than our agenda. I mentioned Uganda a little bit ago, and Uganda is half Christian and half everything else, Muslim, pagan. And so I remember the first time in medical clinic, 2014, I was speaking to very little Uganda that I knew. Barbara was pretty new to our home, so I was still learning. And she would tell you that I'm still learning. But I was kind of communicating with this guy because everybody loves to cut in line. And I'm like, hey, you're going to have to go to the back. And this, which one is your wife? And he used the word for wife twice. And I'm like, what? Oh, polygamy. Oh, I didn't. Like, you just, okay? Like, this is where we're at. Okay, and then a few years later, this guy's on the table. I was, I'm the gopher. Once we get over there, I'm the guy that gets stuff done. You know, hey, take this there, bring this here. He says, hey, pastor, he shouts at me from behind the OR curtain, and I'm like, I really don't want to see you. I don't want to see you in there. And I'll be happy to go get iodine, whatever you need, but pastor, and it's the patient. And he says, after seeing all this, I want to put my faith in Jesus. He was a pagan, worshiper of other gods. Another time, one of our nurses, one of our nurse practitioner, Tessie's sitting down with a man, and he began asking spiritual questions as she's healing his physical issues, and she leads him to Jesus. And like, we see these things happen, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. We should all go to Uganda. That's awesome. Those stories exist here. They're next to you in some cases. I just told you Sean's story. He's like, heck no, I'm not going to church, okay? He's here. He doesn't even have to come now, right? Here he is. God's just waiting for your influence, for you to be willing to be an influencer. And then this happens. Verse 18, this is what scares us. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, what is that babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up? Others said, he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. And he's called a name. That's not nice. He's called a name. And babbler means, it's from the Greek, this babbler word actually means that it's literally like a bird picking up seeds in one place and, you know, pooping them out somewhere else. Just telling you. Some of you are going to be like, what did you learn at church? Okay. So, like, this is, and distributing, basically like, hey, where did you get this made up stuff from? And you just brought all these little seeds from all the other place and made up something. They're hurting his feelings. And I have a warning to issue to everyone who decides I'm going to be an ambassador outside the safe space of religious spaces like this one, outside the church. You might get your feelings hurt. I love that Paul doesn't care. He is gentle. He is humble. But he is loving. But he is not going to allow somebody calling him a name to keep him from being a healthy ambassador of Jesus. Don't worry about getting your feelings hurt. Worry about people drowning without a life preserver. And then we get to this third space. This is my favorite space. This is the invitation-only space. You've been there before. You just may not have realized it. But if you behave well, and if you love well in the other spaces, you may be invited or asked to share in another space. And we see that in Acts chapter 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them. Sorry, I went too far. Verse 19. Sorry, production team. Verse 19, as I was saying. Then they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying something rather strange. You're saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend their time discussing the latest ideas. But what does he say? In verse 19, he says, come and tell us about this new teaching. They're inviting him to share about what he believes. And then we kind of get hung up after that because he says, you're teaching some strange things. But then it says, and we want to know more about it. So many of us, we stop at the first little negative, they might hurt my feelings. And we don't realize we confuse their curiosity with animosity. They're really just curious. They want to learn more. The second somebody says, I don't really believe that, you don't have to be like, fine, I'm not talking to you. Rest in hell, sucker. You know, you don't have to do that. In fact, that's the way the world behaves. We don't agree, therefore we can't be friends. Or we can't discuss because we don't agree. And Paul's like, all right, they're curious. So you got to listen for that, though. Because if you get hung up on the, they said they don't like my teachings, then you're going to miss the part that they said, we want to hear more. So if you're quick to get your feelings hurt as an influencer, you may mistake someone's curiosity for animosity. It continues in verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. One of your altars had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made everything in the world, made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything and satisfies every need. From one man, he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall and determined their boundaries. His promises, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he set a day for judgment, for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and prove to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. We go back to those sections where he's quoting. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Verse 27. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And we see that and we're like, oh, he must be quoting the Old Testament. No, he's not. He's actually quoting pagan philosophers. See, a good influencer affirms truth wherever they see it. There may be a lot of junk in their belief system, but he sees one spot and he's like, hey, just like the people that you believe in say, this is truth that you already possess. And he points to the unknown God. He says, hey, I know this guy. I know this God. In fact, he wants to know you. He's not like all the rest of these that were kind of, they had their beginning in your hands, that you crafted them, you made them. He actually made you. And he still wants a relationship with you. So here's what God influencers do. They affirm truth wherever they see it. We read that. We just said that. Good influencers also affirm other influencers. And so he didn't affirm everything that these writers said, but he affirmed where he could. Good influencers are also as good a student as they are a teacher. You see, he was getting to know the community. He didn't get to know the community and say, you guys are going straight to hell because you got all these shrines. He said, actually, God wants to bring heaven here. You know, the church gets so comfortable doing things in this space on Sunday morning that we forget that there are people living in hell outside of here. And hell is separation from God, either here on this planet or in the literal place of hell that waits for those who have rejected God. And so the church should go to church. I mean, it's a big, important thing for the church to go to church. But after the church goes to church, the church needs to go to hell and rescue people, bringing them out of that, bringing them into the lifeboat of Jesus. Verse 32 and 33, this is the most important truth that an influencer is. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. And my truth here is that good influencers know when to shut up. If you've ever seen those things, those situations gone wrong where you continue talking when the person has already been done listening, you need to learn this one. A good influencer knows when to shut up. You see, he's stopping. They've said, hey, let's do this again. Let's get together and have this discussion again. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna stop right here. Leaving the door open for more discussion later. In verse 34, we see the results. Of course, we saw the results of the religious space, the community space. You know, it says, hey, it worked really well in the religious spaces. You know, lots of people already kind of halfway in that mindset. Marketplace worked moderately well. And then this third place, the invitation. We get to see the results. I'm going to get to that in just a second. You cannot force your way into this invited space. You cannot come up with some presentation that manhandles or manipulates your way into this space. But if you love people, you will naturally be invited to share in this space. I remember this early on in Coastal's history. There was this guy named Emmett. You guys remember Emmett? Emmett. He says, hey, first of all, he found us at our block party. We had little invitations to church that said, It had a picture of a dude in a dentist chair in pain. It says, "This is what it felt like last time you went to church." And he worked in the dental industry, so he's like, "All right, I gotta check this out." So he shows up. He's not a church person. During communion, he comes forward. "Pastor Seth, I would stand back here and kind of pray." And I'm like, "Yeah, what do you need, Emmett?" I want to trust in Jesus. Can we do that right now?" And I'm like, "Emmett, that's not when we..." No, I said, let's pray right now. And he prayed and he put his faith in Jesus. A few months later, Emmett says, "Hey, I'm having a birthday at Earl's Hideaway. And I want you to be there. I want you to pray to bless the meal. It mean a lot to me." So my wife and I, we go. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it'd be a little table with maybe a few of his friends. And then I pray and, you know, we just lead at that table. Those of you who don't know Earl's, it's a biker bar. And back when, don't be afraid of it. It's mostly older people there now. But back then, man, it was like you couldn't smell marijuana everywhere like you can now. But back then, boy, you were flying high just sitting there, right? And so this is the space that I'm in, that I've been invited to, and you know, the band's playing, you know, we got our drink tickets, you know, which is what you do, you know, with the pastor. Like, "Here's your drink tickets, pastor." And then we're hanging out, and he says, "All right, well, the food's here. I'm going to get you to pray." Well, I'm like, "All right, where am I praying?" He goes up to the microphone. There was like 100 people at his party there for him. He brought like everybody. I'm like, I didn't know all these people were for him. He gets up to the mic. "Hey, it's my birthday today. This is my party. So glad you're here. I'm going to have my pastor, Seth Goldsmith, come and pray over the meal." And I'm like, I just had these visions of the Blues Brothers. Like, stuff's going to get thrown at me. This is going to end badly. So I got up and I prayed and I blessed the food and blessed the people that were there. And afterwards, you know, burly bikers, man, coming up to me, you know, "Hey, could you pray with me? I'm going through this struggle. Could you please pray with me about this?" I had more people come forward at Earl's Hideaway than here at church most of the time. And they're like, "Hey, can you come and pray over my bike?" I'd never prayed over anything inanimate before. I'm like, "Sure, let's go pray a blessing over your bike. You know, please don't anybody get, you know, hit." And those are beautiful moments, but I'm telling you, they're passing you by every day. You just have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit saying, "This is one of those moments." And if you've been doing this long enough, you will have a moment later and you realize you missed a moment. You ever do that? And you're like, "God, you sent them and I missed it." It's okay. God will make another moment for you. But the results of this third space are mentioned in Acts chapter 17, verse 34. It says, "But some joined him and became believers." Some. Didn't say many here. Some. "Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them." Now, what's the significance of naming these people? Dionysius, named after the god of wine and revelry. In case you're looking for a name. He didn't grow up in church. He was actually like a leader on this council, pagan philosophy council. Church tradition, though, says that he became the bishop of Athens. He became the leader. He was the leader of the pagans. Now he became the leader of the Christians in Athens. And then this woman, Damaris, is mentioned. I got something that'll bless you. Her name means heifer. There's no spiritual nugget, but I was just thinking, if you are looking for girl names, easy picking. But why would they mention Damaris? The only reason they would mention her is that he's mentioning people that they would know. He's like, "Hey, you know that lady Damaris? She was probably very influential in the first century church. Like, hey, she was a part of this. And because I shared in this way, because I was gentle and loving with my influence, God transformed her." You know, and you, heifer, like, who names their kid heifer? Okay, like, who does that? Like, how unloved do you have to feel, right? Named heifer. And the guy who's, you know, hey, my name's drunkenness, basically. As foster parents, we've had some of those kids that have the weird names and met some friends that have the unusual names. Like, were you high? Yes, you were. Yes, you were high when you named this poor child. Here's the thing. This is not easy. This is not predictable. But it's beautiful. Because like, this church is built on people we've met in this third space. And the stories. Stories are so much better. You know, like just hearing the unlikely turn over their life to Jesus. We were at Emmett's daughter's wedding a few months after that. He's like, I want you to come to this wedding. I want you to meet more of my friends. And I'm like, okay. So Kristen and I would go to the wedding. And one of his friends comes up to me and he says, all right, I probably shouldn't say what they said. What the bleep did you do to Emmett? And I'm like, I just didn't know how to respond. And he says, I've known him for 40 plus years as an atheist, and now all he talks about is Jesus. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't give up on somebody just because they don't agree with you. And you're like, no, I'm going to hold this life preserver for somebody who is nice to me. John Harper is said to have handed out his life preserver to this man because he said he didn't believe. He says, you need this more than I do. And he died with great influence. Let's pray. Lord, would you put on our hearts the urgency of being influencers in every space. You have people that might be coming to our minds right now who need this message of hope. This wonderful message, as we read, this wonderful message. What could be more wonderful than being set free from shame and guilt and all the dysfunction that goes along with it? Lord, I pray for those people that came to mind right now that we would see just progress. We don't have to manhandle them or manipulate them or hit them with our living room Bible. But your Holy Spirit is already working in their lives. And so we will just be, we will be willing participants in that plan to influence where you provide the opportunity and to shut up when we know we should. I pray your blessing and your courage over every believer who's in the sound of my voice online and here in person. Would you empower them with your Holy Spirit? Would you not allow the power of the negativity, the negative experiences we've gone through, the nauseating foolishness we've endured, listening to others mishandle our Jesus? Would you keep that from discouraging us from calling more people to come to God? We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.